Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Let us pray. We thank thee, Lord, for the guidance and promises of thy holy word. We pray that thou wilt bless it now to our hearts, by the same Holy Spirit who gave it, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The passage today, as we continue in our studies in St. John, is a very appropriate one for Holy Communion, because it's about the unity that the Holy Spirit makes among Christians. And Holy Communion celebrates the union we have with Christ and also with each other. Some of you may remember a song that was popular back in the 1960s. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And that's the theme of this portion here in the conclusion of Jesus' high priestly prayer. The fact that there's a supernatural unity between the believer and Christ, and between believer and believer, is a result of this prayer. Now let's begin where we left off last week in verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Jesus is shortly going to be going back to heaven. But before he leaves the earth, he makes provision for his disciples. So he prays that the Father, he will no longer be with them, but the Father will keep them. Now the word keep in the Bible often means guard. The Father will guard the believers. You know, and St. Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And keep there also has this meaning of guard. The peace of God will guard you from fretting, from worry, if you pray with thanksgiving. And Jesus prays that the Father will guard us and that we will be one in the Spirit. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The Father gave Judas Iscariot to Jesus as an apostle, but he never gave Judas Iscariot eternal life. Judas Iscariot was a secret scoundrel and hypocrite from the beginning. The only reason he followed Christ is so he could steal from the treasury. And later he was willing to betray his Lord for money. He's called the son of perdition, which is a Hebrew way of saying a child of hell. Someone who has been ordained to perdition. And Jesus said, this fulfills the scripture. It fulfills the scripture we read in the Psalter selection today, Psalm 41. My own familiar friend hath lifted up his heel against me. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The world, meaning the world system outside of Christ, is always opposed to the kingdom of light. There's a difference between night and day. Whether this hatred that the world has for Christ and his kingdom becomes severe depends very much upon whether that country has a great deal of common grace owing to a great many Christians in that country. The apostles experienced much hatred and persecution from the Jews who rejected Christ. It's the reason Christians are persecuted so severely in some countries today. This nation was founded by Christian people on Christian principles, and they established a Christian culture, which we still enjoy in some measure today, although it's eroding quickly. But because of the great number of churches and Christians in this nation, there's common grace that tamps down and retards the hatred of the world against us. And yet still it's there. You know, you no doubt have read about a homosexual who's purposely sought out a Christian baker to demand he make a wedding cake for a homosexual wedding. Many bakers would have been glad to do it, but he sought out this Christian because he hated what this Christian believes, and he wanted to ruin his life and his business. Chick-fil-A. How dare they? They said that a normal marriage is between a man and a woman. They've been hated for that. They've been denied having restaurants in some places because they believe, you don't even need to be a Christian to believe that. This seems a simple biological truth, it seems to me. Marriage is designed for a man and a woman and not for a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. More and more, if you have normal Christian ethics and values, you're going to be called a bigot and a hater and no better than a Ku Klux Klan member just because you believe what God wants you to believe. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus doesn't pray that the Father will take the apostles out of the world because he's leaving and they must be the ones who spread the gospel, the good news that there's salvation in this Savior from heaven. But he does pray that while they're in the world, they will be kept from the evil. Some modern translations say the evil one, meaning the devil. And no doubt that's part of it. But both Luther and Calvin believe that this was abstract from all sorts of evil. Temptations, trials. Don't we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The truth sanctifies you. It sets you apart as holy. Pontius Pilate asked, what is truth? Well, here Jesus gives us a formal definition. God's word is truth. If you have this is this, you have a formal definition. God's word is truth. See the stained glass window above my head? The open Bible says, thy word is truth. That's why, because it does set us apart from evil, it sanctifies us, it makes us holy, we need to read the Bible every day. We need to sit under the preaching of God's word and practice it in our lives. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. The Father sent Jesus into the world to purchase the salvation of believers. Now Jesus says, now I send gospel ministers into the world to bring the message of that salvation. Now Jesus said, I sanctify myself. Sanctify is used in different ways in Scripture. How we most frequently think about it is in opposition to justification. Justification is the act of God as a judge He looks at the good works of Christ and sees them as the believer's good works, and he declares you're just based not on your works, but on the works of Christ. That's a once-for-all legal transaction that takes place outside of you. Sanctification takes place in you, because even though we're legally free from sin, we still have to fight against sin every day. And the Holy Spirit works within us more and more to sanctify us or make us more holy. But that's not how the word is being used by Jesus. There's no need for him to be purified from sin. This is the doctrine of the impeccability of Christ. He not only didn't sin, he was unable to sin because he is God. God cannot sin. Years ago, I had an elder who came to me once and he said, Pastor, even Jesus had to be sanctified. Well, that's not how he's using the word here. It means, see, you can take something that's already holy and sanctify it, meaning you consecrate it to a holy use. What's Jesus consecrating? Well, himself. He's the high priest who's going to offer the sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, namely himself. He's the priest and the Lamb. So he sanctifies himself, or he consecrates himself as and his sacrifice to this holy end. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now we see from this statement that this prayer of unity isn't just for the apostles, it's for all who will believe the apostolic gospel. In other words, all true Christians, us. Jesus has prayed that we would be one because we have believed in the word. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus prays all Christians will be one. Now, it doesn't mean our personalities are erased. You know, Peter and Paul are two very different persons, but they were one in the Spirit. Matthew and Thomas are very different. And we have lots of differences in this church. Different occupations, different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different levels of education. And yet we're all one. Why do we all gather together as brothers and sisters? Because Christ has prayed and established our oneness. All over the world, as well as in this country, there are all sorts of different churches. But all of the ones who are faithful to the gospel are one in the Spirit. They have different forms of government, different kinds of liturgy, different ways of worshiping, speak different languages, but they're one church. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, Christ is eternal God, so he's eternally glorious. So how could the Father give him glory? Well, because he took to himself a genuine human nature. And you remember at his baptism, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. That was the glory of ordination given to him for his task. And the same Holy Spirit Jesus has sent to us. That's the glory he's given to us, that he received from the Father. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. This whole prayer is so amazingly Trinitarian. Christ is in the Christian, and the Father is in Christ, and this makes us perfect in one. By one Spirit have we all been baptized into one body. We've all been made to drink of the same Spirit. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. What a beautiful promise. Jesus prays that not only we'll be one, we'll be guarded on earth, but that we will be with him in heaven. We'll behold his glory in that place of eternal peace and joy. What a difference. You know, unsaved people, what's their goal? What's life all about? Well, they can't wait to be graduated from school, and then they can't wait for the first job, and then they can't wait for the next promotion. Then they can't wait till they retire. Then they're of riper years, and they say, is this all there is? Not for us. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Jesus again says what he said in the portion last week. The world doesn't know God. Now, most of the world is religious. Vast majority, very, very small percentage of people are actually atheists. But no matter how intensely they serve whatever religion they serve, if they don't have Jesus Christ, they don't know God. God says they don't know him. St. Paul says, professing to know God in their works, they deny him. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the end of Christ's high priestly prayer. He says he's revealed the Father unto us, and he has. And he's filled us with the Holy Spirit, so the love the Father has for the Son is in us, and God is in us. Today there is spread before you the Lord's Supper. Our liturgy says, the physical elements are a bond and pledge of union of believers with Christ and with each other as members of his mystical body. When you partake of this holy sacrament, remember that it is God's way of teaching you that you are one in him forever, and we are one in the Spirit. Amen. We thank thee, Lord, for these marvelous promises that thou hast made us one in thee forever, and one in the Holy Spirit. May we, as the Apostle Paul admonishes us, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen.